This is Helen Cannon with Petals and Prose. A friend of mine who lives in Nova Scotia has started a project that people can subscribe to. Her idea is that she will send those of us who belong to the subscribing group will receive one of her poems a week. And this week, her poem was called Oaks. And I would like to use that as the focus point of my Petals and Prose. The old oaks sleep as white rain sheathes every surface, heavy, wet, silent. Their massive limbs trace strange shapes. What sound is in this emptiness? Fixed. They have been moving outward for centuries, spreading time as particular spheres, being paradox. Below, the cold river twists through ice and shadow, feeding their roots, their rings, mineral water, earth's wine. Walk quietly among these oaks in late light. You are less in motion than any tree. Rest a palm on an old oak skin, rough, hard, deeply scored, armor that breathes. Stand in relation to old oaks as a wish to a truth, the small hope of awe beside the great thrust of augmentation. Let winter be a revelation. Gaze up through snow-laden branches and see them hold the cloud tattered sky, by Sandra Berry. Annie Dillard also considers trees in her book, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. She is looking at and thinking about not oaks, but sycamores. And I'd like to read a little bit from her Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. I am sitting under a sycamore by Tinker Creek. It is early spring. I've come to the backyard stretch of the creek in the middle of the day to feel delicate gathering of heat, real sun's heat in the air, and to watch new water come down the creek. Don't expect more than this, and a mental ramble. I'm in the market for some present tense. I'm on the lookout, shopping around, more so every year. It's a seller's market. Do you think I won't sell all that I have to buy it? Thomas Merton wrote in a light passage in one of his Gethsemane journals, quote, suggested emendation in the Lord's Prayer, take out thy kingdom come, and substitute, give us time. But time is the one thing we have been given, and we have been given to time. Time gives us a whirl. We keep waking from a dream we can't recall, looking around in surprise and lapsing back for years on end. All I want to do is stay awake, keep my head up, prop my eyes open with toothpicks, with trees. Before me, the creek is 17 feet wide, splashing over random sandstone outcroppings and scattered rocks. I'm lucky. The creek is loud here because of the rocks and wild. In the low water of summer and fall, I can cross to the opposite bank by leaping from stone to stone. Upstream is a wall of light split into planks by smooth sandstone ledges that cross the creek evenly like steps. Downstream, the live water before me stills, dies suddenly as if extinguished and vanishes around a bend shaded summer and winter by overarching tulips, locusts, and Osage orange. Everywhere I look are creekside trees whose ascending boles against water and grass accent the vertical thrust of land in this spot. The creek rests the eye, a haven, abreast. The two steep banks vault from the creek like wings. Not even the sycamore's crown can peek over the land in any direction. My friend Roseanne Coggeshall, the poet, says that sycamore is the most intrinsically beautiful word in English. This sycamore is old. Its lower bark is always dusty from years of floodwaters lapping up its trunk. Like many sycamores do, it is quirky, given to flights and excursions. Its trunk lifts over the creek at a dizzying angle, and from that trunk extends a long, skinny limb that spurts high over the opposite bank without branching. The creek reflects the speckled surface of this limb, pale even against the highest clouds, and that image pales whiter and thins as it crosses the creek, shatters in riffles and melds together, quivering and mottled like some enormous primeval reptile under the water. I want to think about trees. Trees have a curious relationship to the subject of the present moment. There are many created things in the universe that outlive us, that outlive the sun even, but I can't think about them. I live with trees. There are creatures under our feet, creatures that live over our heads, but trees live quite convincingly in the same filament of air we inhabit, and in addition, they extend impressively in both directions, up and down, shearing rock and fanning air, doing their real business just out of reach. A blind man's idea of hugeness is a tree. They have their sturdy bodies and special skills. They garner fresh water. They abide. This sycamore above me, below me, by Tinker Creek, is a case in point. The sight of it crowds my brain with an assortment of diverting thoughts, as all present to me as these slivers of pressure from grass on my elbow's skin. I want to come at the subject of the present by showing how consciousness dashes and ambles along the labyrinthine tracks of the mind, returning again and again, however briefly, to the senses. Quote, if there were but one erect and solid standing tree in the woods, all creatures would go to rub against it and make sure of their footing. Unquote. But so long as I stay in my thoughts, my foot slides under trees. I fall or I dance. Sycamores are among the last trees to go into leaf. In the fall, they are the first to shed. They make sweet food in green broad leaves for a while, the leaves wide as plates, and then go wild and wave their long white arms. In ancient Rome, men honored the sycamore in the form of its cousin, the Oriental plane tree, by watering its roots. Xerxes, I read, halted his unwieldy army for days that he might contemplate to his satisfaction the beauty of a single sycamore. Well, I'd like to read more of this in another Petals and Prose, but for now, I hope you'll consider the trees and think of them also as petals and prose. This is Helen Cannon. Thank you for listening.
This is KUSR HD1 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1 88.7 Moab, KCEU 89.7 Price, and KUSU FM HD1 91.5 Logan.